means we can Mellow. Clap sync too. Clap on. Clap off.
Yeah. Yeah, you dig.
But I didn't start the recording, so like, it's not really.
It'll just be the.
I should talk at normal volume if this is gonna be an actual test of what we should do, and I need to not mumble.
Yeah.
I'm really good at it on stage, not mumbling, but in my day to day conversation, a little bit.
You're going like. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at my croissant.
Rachel says it.
I ordered a new wallet on Amazon at like 11:30 last night.
Oh.
Just thought you should know.
Okay.
And like more Bible highlighters and a crossbody and AirPods case. It was like the girliest Amazon order I've ever done.
It's probably good.
No, it's fine. I just mean if something happened with mics,
then
we would have a backup option.
We would.
If we didn't have any audio, we'd just, like, lip sync over it and be like...
We'd dub over it
and, like, guess what we were saying.
We would definitely remember.
Yeah.
This is definitely really loud. So I'm just going to turn it down a good bit.
Do what you want.
Do what you want to. God, we love to see you move. Anyway, that's not making it in there.
That's gonna be how we start it. Cool.
Fortified.
We gotta sing it.
That's gonna suck.
If I clap too many, then I won't know which one's which.
Yeah.
Are you editing this or me?
Alright, ready?
Whoever has more time, I guess.
It's a really good question, actually.
It's fine.
Out of the two of us.
We need this.
Ready?
No.
I'm scared. Okay, I'm not scared.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Pass the Salt podcast. My name is Hope.
I'm Rachel.
We're so excited to be back. Sorry for the massive pause.
Yeah. And we had this little event called Sateo. It kind of took up all of our time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyway, that would have been really
sad.
Sorry
about that.
It's okay.
My bad.
It's okay. Anyway. Yeah. Welcome. So today, Rachel and I had a little conversation about kind of what the Lord is doing in this season.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
No!
Wait.
What's happening?
I don't know. Maybe it's because of that.
What?
It says feedback. Oh. Feedback protection's on, though, so I think it's
probably
fine.
Probably because there's two mics really close to each other. Fine.
Wait, just do this. And then it'll be fine.
I don't know how they work.
Okay. That should be fine. Because now it's just picking up what's from here
that's
what's
definitely
there.
Better.
So.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. So, speaking of seasons.
Whoa, look at that segue.
so clean. So I was just kind of thinking, we were talking a little bit and just praying over it of what the Lord wants to reveal to us in this season. And I was thinking a lot with things like coming to an end in my life, about the changing of seasons and how the Lord is able to bring beauty out of that change, and how sometimes it's scary to have to go into a new season or a new time in your life, a new thing to overcome, but also how the Lord is faithful through that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that in my life right now, especially why this is so relatable to me right now is I'm a senior in high school, so
Woo!
I've got two more months until
the senioritis is really hitting.
Ooh, it's so hard to keep doing my assignments.
Yeah,
but it's okay because I am an academic weapon.
That's right, you are.
I have to be. Yes, but yeah, there's a lot of things have to come to an end this year. I had last school dances, last prom, my last musical was a really hard thing for me. My school does two musicals a year, and I'm a very big theater kid if you didn't know that about me. But yeah, my show does, my school does 2 shows a year, so I've been in 8 productions, and I just finished my last one. And it was just, there's a lot of, like, bittersweet with that. If just being, like, scared to go on and, like, audition for a real, like, theater is something that's scary to me, and I'm like, I like just, like, my little theater where they know me and that kind of stuff. So that ending was really hard. And of course I'm like graduating, so I'm leaving high school, and starting college is a new adventure that I have to go on. And like, it's exciting, but it's also like, there's a lot of questions of like, what is God gonna do in this time? Like, is it gonna be what I expect it to be? Or, you know, it could go so many different ways. So I think there's a lot of like, maybe anxiety that comes from that and just worry, that I sometimes like can live in that moment. So that's kind of where I'm at with change and the seasons and things. So
I am currently in college, and so being in a kind of like halfway point, almost is insane. It's crazy to think about that 2 years ago, like,
you and me.
2 years ago at this time, I was finalizing things for Messiah, and making sure that, like, I'm, you know, I was ready and doing all the things. And so, 2 years ago, I was also starting my first summer, on Salt Light, which was, you know, so, like, a lot of really cool and fun things happening at the end of that year. But now, like, being where I am now, I'm like, getting into, so I'm an education major, so next year will be like a lot more experience in the classroom, which I'm so excited for. But it is also scary because there will be more responsibilities, and I'm hoping to take some more of those on in my current field experience as well. But next year is kind of like being more involved in writing lesson plans and teaching things and doing stuff like that. But and also just the community that I've continued to build here, people that are graduating college, and I'm just like, whoa, like, I've still got 2 years here, and trying to make the most of it, and just continue to, you know, see what the Lord still has for me in this season. But it's a very different season than what last year was.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at in that sense, because I'm a big planner, and so I'll think a lot really far into the future. And so even being where I am now, I'm like, I'm halfway, which basically means I'm halfway to getting a job, which basically means I'm halfway to
like, to figure this out,
you know, like, and having, you know, just like plans for what's happening. And so yeah, it's a lot, but it's exciting. But just
it's
a lot to think about.
And I just want to have everything figured out. I want God to, like, lay this plan in front of me and be like, okay, so this is what's
going to be the checklist.
Go.
Give
it's
me
like,
the
I can
itinerary.
Make alterations here, right? Like, It's like, and it's like, no, that's what I want it to be. But it's just, it's like, you can always plan that stuff. So that's kind of what we're planning to talk about, dive into some people in the Bible, some books that we think like offer wisdom on this. So I think we're gonna pray to open. I guess I can start and you can close.
Cool. Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Really planned out. Okay. And if you're listening, you can, sorry. like bow your heads if you can. If you can't, just you know, focus your minds. So dear Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness, for your presence, and how you show up in our lives. Lord, as we enter these seasons that may be ending or new things to come, and just this whole atmosphere of change in our lives, Lord, please just be with us and remind us and give us wisdom of how we can approach these things and how we can learn to better trust you and the plan that you have for our lives over our own. God, help us to surrender our own agendas and instead focus on what you have for us and your perfect plan, Lord.
Jesus, we just thank you for your presence through our lives. We thank you that you are just working all things out for your glory and for your honor. Jesus, we thank you for the seasons that you have us in right now and the seasons that you've had us in the past and the seasons that you have for us in the future. Jesus, I just pray that even when we're going through hard seasons or good seasons, that we will be able to surrender those to you and remember that we are ultimately not in control, and that you have a way to just continue to be with us, even when it seems like our world is crazy and there's no plan going on and there's nothing that we can hold on to, that we just hold on to you. And that sometimes when things don't make sense, I just pray that in our doubt, in our questioning, that we'll be able to bring those to you and surrender them to you, and just ultimately be able to trust your sovereignty and just your good nature and your love for us. So we thank you so much for, yes, this opportunity to dive into your word and to learn more about how we can continue to trust you in the good times and the bad. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Let's dive in.
What do we have here?
Grab your Bibles if you have them close. And if you don't have them close, go get it wherever it is. Go get it.
Bible app works too.
That's
the most convenient thing for you. So, okay. All right. So we're first gonna talk about some people in the Bible and how God's plan for them had them change their lives and maybe like uproot them a little bit from what they were comfortable with. So the people that we have here. The disciples is huge one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I don't think about it enough, but, like, the disciples were all basically, like, teenage boys.
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, I don't know. It's just crazy how all these young people, like, you know, they probably had a lot of plans for, like, the future and, like, mm-hmm. what career they were going into. Like, yeah. You know, their families are probably like, oh, yeah, you're going to.
Take the family
you're
business.
Be whatever, yeah, you're gonna yeah. be whatever I am right now. So, the fact that all of these people were like had basically all just like one encounter mm-hmm. with Jesus, and he's just like, follow me, and they're yeah. like, cool, let's do it.
All right.
Like,
yeah.
That's just crazy, and the callings that I think God can have like for our lives can sometimes just like uproot it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll just talk about me with Salt and Light, Last year, so I was an intern this last summer, and I had all this plans for my summer. I was like, oh, I'm gonna do some summer stage shows at this theater and like do this kind of stuff. And then like on the day that the deadline was due, our creative arts director Christy messaged me and was like, are you gonna apply for Salt and Light? And I was like, huh. Maybe I am, because that was something where I'd considered it, but I was just, like, talked myself out of all of these things. I was like, God, like, is this something that I want to do? And then I was like, I'm not ready for that kind of thing or whatever. And he was like, I've got other plans for you. that was just something where, it's like I didn't expect that at all. It was unexpected.
Yeah.
That was
summer 2025 theme. 2024. So
this is 2025.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I literally don't even know,
I know.
What day it is.
Doesn't feel right, but
I'm glad you know, because I don't.
Yeah. So I mean, with the disciples, I think that like sometimes God can have a calling on our life, and we will sometimes try and like push it away and be like, no, God, like not right now. And he's like, actually, yes, right now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be like a full scale thing. Maybe it's just like a tugging on your heart. That's like, oh, you should become friends with this person. And you're like, I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has a way of working that out for our lives too. And while it can be like scary to mm-hmm. invite that in, there's a lot of like, I think peace even that comes with surrendering our own agendas and just trusting that whatever he has is going to be the best thing for us.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that point you made about like often we'll talk ourselves out of God's goodness mm-hmm. and we'll say or just his provision and we'll say like, oh, no, like, you know, and sometimes it's very like us-centered.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready for this. And it's uh-huh. like, Well, I didn't ask if you were ready for it, like, you know, or whether you thought that you were ready for it.
And we're going to do this together.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I didn't ask if you were going to do this on your own. Like, right. You know.
It's like, I know that you're not ready to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do it on your own. That's
you
why
can't
you
do any of it. Exactly.
That's why, oh, are we going to do this thing where we drink water when I talk about certain things? Because I'm about to talk about my mom. All right, everyone.
Everybody grab your water.
Everyone at home, take a sip of water. You're going to stay hydrated during the podcast. Take a sip of water when I talk about my mom. So, she always says, that, like, people will always say the saying of God will never give you something you can't handle, and she's like, that is not
That's baloney.
At all. That is so not true. He, like, continuously gives us things that we can't handle, but he never gives us something that we can't handle with him, and that's where it comes in.
Exactly.
Of just, like, this trust that we are always working on building with him. And it's definitely easier said than done, but, I don't know. I think I've been experiencing a lot of the peace with that recently of just, like, I don't have to have, like, everything figured out for my future as much as I want to.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, God has a plan, and even if it's something that is scary at first, he's gonna find a way to, you know, work me through that with him. So,
absolutely.
All right. Anything else with the disciples specifically?
I think... Yeah, I'm trying to find the specific passage on where we're actually introduced to, like, Simon and Andrew.
Yeah, I remember. That's the one that I was thinking of, too.
Because it's just very, like...
It's just a lot at the beginning of these Gospels.
Yeah.
Some of them... I know, doesn't John, like, not have the birth? It just starts with his ministry.
Maybe it's Luke, because Luke happens... after, you know, yeah, it must be in Luke, because I guess, like, Matthew and Mark, like, were, I think, a part of the journey, so they didn't, like, have the context of the other disciples being called, and so, Luke chapter 5 is Jesus calls his first disciples, which is Simon, or Peter, or Cephas, if you were at Zechariah 24, when Cody talked about Cephas. So, you know, any of those names.
Yeah.
And his brother Andrew are fishing, because their dad was a fisherman, and they were fishermen too, so it's, you know, family business, right?
Yeah, working family business.
You know, working family business.
They probably just expected to do that forever. This is what we're going to do.
So they're, you know, they're out fishing, and,
Keegan, there's a train.
Keegan, there's a train.
I don't know if they can hear it.
We are Messiah. because, yay, we love the trains.
Yes.
But, yes, so, Jesus, you know, like, the very famous line of, you know, if you follow me, that I will make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
You know, and, or I guess literally it says, then Jesus said to Simon, in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Which is a strange, like, you know, like, if you, like, you know, meet somebody, if I was going to meet you and be like, oh, yeah, like, don't fear. Like, now you've met the Lord and you're going to fish for people. Like be a little confused.
Feels horror movie-ish.
But, like, it's just, you know, we also have to think about it in, like, the context of, like, who he was talking to. Like, you know, Jesus had a very beautiful way of, like, you know, talking with people on their level and speaking in ways that they would understand. And so, you know, like, being fishers, like, they understand, like, there's things that has to happen in order to, like, actually catch fish.
Yeah.
There is, like, a sense.
Effort.
Yeah, there's effort. There's intentionality.
Like,
you have to know where the fish are, first of all.
Uh-huh.
You need to know, like, you know, what, I guess, what they eat, you know, maybe. And
maybe time of day.
Yeah, time of day and their schedule.
Fish, clearly.
Right.
But,
But I think, you know, him being able to
use all these metaphors of, like, this is something that they would understand, which I think is beautiful.
But, so, I mean, then them just being like, okay, you know, and just kind of, like, leaving their nets behind,
fish for
you
men.
Know. Yeah, it's like, all right. Well, I mean,
these fish aren't coming anymore.
We gotta go with this guy. He knows how to, you know, get the fish in the nets and whatnot. But, Yeah, so I think that's one interesting thing. And even with, like, Matthew, when we hear about Matthew being called and he's being a tax collector, mm-hmm. and, like, the stigma that would have mm-hmm. surrounded him, and yet Jesus is still like, hey, no, I choose you, mm-hmm. you know? Thought of Pokemon. So, but, like,
Matthew, I choose you.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, but, yeah, so you think of it in that sense, and it's like, yeah, and Jesus is still continuing to call him and be like, you know, I'm going to take these fishermen, and I'm going to take this guy yeah. who's a tax collector, mm-hmm. and these two brothers who, like, have a temper, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm going to, you yeah. know.
And the world, like, may have rejected them.
Yeah, but, and they definitely yeah. would have been seen, would not have been seen together.
No.
And yet, that's kind of the crew.
Hodgepodge of people.
Yeah, that, like, Jesus like, assembles,
is
yeah.
the church. This is the
literally.
The new church, so.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and it's, like, just that trust that they had to have to, like, let go of their own lives, like, of their mm-hmm. doubts, even. I mean, a lot of what, in throughout, like, Jesus's life is the Pharisees trying to, like, catch him in a lie, catch mm-hmm. him, you're not actually the Messiah, like,
yeah.
like, catching him in this kind of thing. So, the disciples to just, like, undoubtedly just follow this man who they are just, like, so sure that this is, like, this is the Messiah, this is mm-hmm. the Savior, and, yeah, like, imagine the risk of going to follow
yeah.
someone who's a phony, like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you're just, like, uprooting your whole life for that, but that's, like, the kind of unashamed faith that they have in him, which I think
yeah.
is.
And the great thing is he isn't a phony.
Yeah,
you know?
The great
like,
thing is
the
he
great
actually
thing,
is the Savior.
Yeah, like, he is the Messiah, yeah. and he is, like, you know, leading them on the path of, like, how to, you know, love people and how mm-hmm. to, you know, like, eventually, I mean, he literally, he's like, yeah, I'm doing these things so that, you know, you will know how to do them later when I'm not here, you know, and
yeah.
he doesn't tell them right up front, but, like, you know.
Like, he kind of
does. He
does. That's why it's
you know,
so
it's
funny.
Like,
he keeps being like, yep, and then there's going to be another time, or, like, and yeah. I'm going to die, and then they're like.
They're like, what?
They're like, he didn't say anything like that, and then when he does, they're like, no.
What?
So fair enough. God
yeah.
tells me stuff all the time, and I'm just like, la 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 la. He's like, hey, listen up.
Lock in.
Lock in. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disciples' story is beautiful.
Yeah.
The other one we had specifically focusing on change in this kind of section about it kind of uprooting your lives a little bit and being a little bit scary is Esther.
Esther.
Queen. Literally. I love Esther so much.
Esther's so good.
I mean,
where can I find
yeah.
her?
Yeah, so my... I have Bible tabs.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, my...
Rachel loves her Bible tabs.
I do. Anybody in my youth group, if they're watching this, they're probably like,
why?
Shut up with your Bible tabs.
Why are you talking
I used
about
to get
Bible
a gold
tabs?
Star revoked every time I would talk about my Bible tabs. It's rough. Yeah, so with Esther, yeah, she is, you know, just this woman of who's just living and in this town in this area, and she's called to literally be queen, and it's just crazy. And even more than that, to, like, to defend her people to the king who, like, was everyone feared. And mm-hmm. Yeah, my Bible has this really interesting devotion. I don't usually read the devotions in my Bible, but I'm like, I definitely should. I usually just read the text,
yeah.
and I don't really read this, but this one was talking about, like, taking part in God's work, because that's what it's titled. But yeah, it said that, like, it's talking about kind of God's plans for our lives, and how, like, if he has, like, a greater plan, like, he had a greater plan to save his people from this, like, enslavement, this imprisonment
mm-hmm.
that they were gonna go into, but it was, like, God had this plan to get it done, and Esther was called into this, and, like, if Esther didn't take part in it, God still would have saved his people,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that we get the opportunity to,
yeah.
like, take a part in this calling, like,
mm-hmm.
God can call us to things, and we can just be like, no. Like, like, I don't know, like, kind of rejecting that, but the fact that we do get to, like, take part in this new thing, even though it may be, like, scary and worrying to not exactly know what that's going to be like, but the fact that God offers this new experience to us where we get to, you know, I don't know, go deeper with him and, I don't know, just fulfill a different purpose is crazy. He lets us into our plans and, like, entrust us with that, I guess. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, like, even throughout the story of Esther, we see the immense favor that she has with everybody that she meets. And we see, like, the hand of God is quite literally, like, just all throughout this story. And, I mean, all throughout all of this as well, you know? And, like, sometimes, like, you have to look a little harder in, like, some unconventional places.
Even but in like, this book we were talking about how it doesn't explicitly mention God in this book at all.
Yeah.
But,
just that they were followers of God and exactly. they were God's people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But like he doesn't, I need to, I almost said he doesn't have any lines. God doesn't say anything in this book. It's what I meant to say.
Theater kid.
Oh, make fun of her. She's a theater kid.
No, don't make fun of her. That's really funny.
Anyways, yeah, but yeah, it's kind of focusing on Esther and how we're not recovering.
No way.
Yeah, and how
that's the beginning right there. Yeah. God doesn't have any lies.
God doesn't have any lies. Yeah, maybe that has to be the beginning.
People are so loud sometimes.
Lock in.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't even know what I was saying.
Talking about God doesn't have any lines.
Oh, yeah, but Esther just, like, being able to be an example for her people of, and she's just, like, this young woman. Like, she wasn't, she couldn't have been that, like, really, I don't know, textbook knowledgeable at this point. Like, I don't think she was, maybe, I don't, I might be talking out of my, I don't know. Right now. But I don't think that she had, like, a whole lot. She was... I mean, not that she was, like, poor, I don't really know, but, like, it was just, she was just this woman living in this town, like, I don't, people would have probably overlooked her, but, then she's, like, all of her life changes so that she can, like, be married to the king, and, then fulfill, like, the purpose that God has for her, so... I don't know, I just, I'm doubtful of myself that I would, like... willingly take part in this so easily that she did, and I think that there's a lot to be learned of the way that she accepted the change in her life and trusted like God above everything else that he would that she gets to take part in this calling that he has for her, and just trusting that is like where she needed to be and what she did was significant. Anything else with our girl Esther? Esther was on at Sight and Sound Esther's a couple crazy. Years ago.
Yes.
I didn't go and see
you
it.
You didn't? So that's sad. Really sad, actually. I did get to go see that one. Saw that one and Jonah. Which that one was crazy too.
I think I saw Jonah, Moses, and Jesus.
Okay. Online, we saw Jesus, and then I think they also had Noah online.
Probably.
I don't think we saw that one live, but yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Theater.
I love it. Anyway, love Esther. There's a lot, there's also just a lot. Please go read Esther. It's literally only 10 chapters.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what?
Knock it out.
4-5 pages.
It's
actually, like, I sat down.
There's so much. Like,
it took
Mordecai?
Me maybe. Yeah, it took me maybe like 40 minutes to read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe not even that long.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a lot within Esther in just, like, the way that she, like, respected authority, but then was able to use, like, her, like, she was very smart in how she went about, like, you know, like, actually gaining the throne.
Yeah.
You know? But she did it for, like, a bigger purpose, you know? Because, I mean, it was just a bunch of, like, young women that were like, hey, like, it's like, hey, we're trying to find a wife for King Xerxes.
The last one didn't work out.
You know? Yeah. And so it's like, You know, and yet she took on that mantle. So.
Oh, gosh. Choir kids. They might be theater kids.
They're choir kids. They're music. I think they're music performance. Anyway.
All right. Well, while
moving right along.
Just gotta throw it in while we're a little distracted. Every time I read Esther, I still picture the veggie. My Queen Esther is like a cucumber.
It's not a cucumber.
What is she?
I think she's like a spring onion or something.
She's green.
Yeah, she's green.
Spring onions are green?
I don't know.
I don't know what a spring onion is.
Where's my phone?
Yeah, whoever she is. Picture on screen right now of My Queen Esther.
My Queen Esther.
VeggieTales.
Queen Esther. VeggieTales. What kind is she?
I don't know.
What vegetable? A green pepper?
A pepper?
That's not a pepper.
Wait, let me see.
This
her.
Is not a pepper.
No. What pepper looks like that? That's what I thought. She was just like a... None of... Whatever.
That's not a pepper.
It's fine. It's fine. The real Esther was a human, so...
Doesn't even really matter.
So that's fine.
Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Moving right along.
Yeah. So the next thing we have is Job.
If you've ever read Job, or if you've never read Job, buckle up.
If you've never read Job, click off the podcast.
Go read it right now.
And read it or listen to something about it, because we're not going to do it justice. Yeah. The Bible Project has a good video on Job.
So their overviews are always really helpful.
Their overviews are good. So, yeah. Job, we can't give you a full overview of Job right now. There's so many theological discussions about it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get into that. We are gonna shift a little bit into, like, how change can be uncomfortable, and I guess maybe just that sometimes we don't see a resolution or, like, why we go through certain things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I think you kind of wanted to
head
this a little bit.
Yeah, so the Book of Job is, it's a lot.
It's like 40-some chapters?
It's 42 chapters.
Yeah.
So Job... There's a lot there, and typically when we talk about Job, we hear a lot about how Job will explain or give us, like, more insight on the fact that, like, you know, like, why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people. Mostly the latter, because Job, we literally, when we're introduced to Job in chapter 1 in the prologue, it says that... So we say, you know, this is Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. And then it goes on to say, you know, he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And he had, like, you know, all of these. He had 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. You know, like, he basically had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff.
Very, very well off, and, like, God-fearing man. Like, he gave everything he had to the Lord, and, like, the Lord blessed him because of that.
Yeah.
So.
He even sacrificed offerings to the Lord in case his children sinned.
Yeah. It's like on behalf just of in
case,
else.
Just in case they did something that I don't know about, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, very God-fearing man. Mm-hmm. And yet, we see, like, like I said... We can't get into the theological stuff.
Thing, not just, right now.
We can't. I could explain. I could try and talk about so much of this, but I'm trying to keep it. I'm trying to hold back a little
Deep
bit.
Deep breaths.
Yeah, but we see that the accuser, Satan, basically. Yes.
Top op.
The op.
Hey, okay, well, this goes back to... No, it goes back to Jesus used metaphors to relate to the people. I think if Jesus was, like, here preaching on earth nowadays, he would be talking about the top op and, like, what a, that kind
Dapping
of thing.
Dapping people up.
Yeah, like, this is ministry.
this is ministry.
Anyways.
But, yeah, so the accuser approaches God, and, you know, God is saying to him, like, hey, like, have you seen my servant Job? Yeah, you know, like not to brag.
That all people are wicked. But yeah. Like, look at him.
Like, look at him. And he's like, you know, but hear me out. You know, if you were to take all of these, you've blessed him.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to take all of these things from him, he will surely curse your name. And God's like, just like, okay.
We'll see.
You can take anything from him except for, like, just, you, like, don't you hurt can't him. Harm him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually, like, we see that Job is not cursing God's name. And, yeah. you know, he's crying out because he's losing all of these things.
Yeah.
But then,
he's, like, grieving and lamenting and that and all that, but... Yeah.
But he's still, you know, being faithful and still very God-fearing. And then we see that...
First series of speeches.
You know, we see... But even before then, you know, like God allows the accuser to inflict pain on Job.
Yeah.
But he says, like, but you have to spare his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see, you know, he loses things, but then he loses his good health.
Mm-hmm.
And so... He has, like, these sores all over him,
not a lot
and he's
going
just, like,
for him.
He's just, like, very ill, and, like, you know, it's just not going good for Job.
Yeah, infected Job with terrible boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, it's just not good.
Yeah. Hey, can you guys leave us alone? Josh Burris out there.
Bosh? No. Anyway.
We were talking about Job here.
So Job, he's not a lot's going for him.
Yeah, now
but,
in his pain.
Yeah, in his pain, his physical pain, his, like, emotional pain. And then we see his three friends basically try and come to his aid. And they do good for the first 7 days. For the first 7 days.
Still not ending, yikes.
Yikes, you really did something. You really messed up. So it's like, oh, wow, you really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly you sinned against God. Like, they all are trying to give these reasons.
They're basically coming to the argument of either you sinned and you didn't know it, and that's why you're being punished, or God isn't just.
Right.
Those are the two things that they're like, it's one or the other, because it's one of the... So with our, like, earthly minds, that's how we are now, like, interpreting this change in Job's life. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so even in, you know, we see in Eliphaz, chapter 5, verse 17, says, blessed is the one whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's really hitting hard the fact, like, Job, like, you definitely did something.
Yeah.
You definitely messed up. Just own up to it, and maybe God will give you all of your things
like,
back.
Why are you being so prideful? Like,
you know?
Just tell him. Job's like, I didn't do it.
Did. You know? And he's like, you know, he says, then in chapter 6, Job replies to him in verse 21, now you too have proved to be of no help. And then later, because he, like, even in, I think, what did I say, chapter 16? I think is what I had said.
Yeah.
16, I did bookmark it. Ha.
Huh.
Yeah. And so... you know, still kind of, like, there's this back and forth, so there's a lot of other dialogue that's happening, so go read it, don't just say, oh, we read the book of Job, we did not read the book of Job, we didn't read the whole
take
thing, we
God's
just,
word
yes,
for it.
We're just scratching the surface, but, like, in chapter 16, verse 2, Job, again, is replying to, who's he replying to? He's replying again to Eliphaz, you know, he says, I have heard many things like these, so a lot of the things that they're basically...
Yeah, their arguments.
Yeah, their arguments and whatnot. Job says, you are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? I also could speak like you if I were... if you were in my place, I could make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. And so, yet if I speak, my pain is not relieved, and if I refrain, it does not go away. Surely, God, you would have worn me out, and, you have devastated my entire household. So, like, it's just, like, he's still lamenting. Like, bro is still like, I don't know why this is happening, you know, and we don't even get evidence that, you know, Job knows that the accuser was even, like, speaking to God and saying, hey, like, that one right there, you know.
He seems pretty out of the loop.
You know, yeah, and so he's, from his perspective, all he's seeing is that, like, he served God and he's, you know, doing all the things right, you know, like, and he's also very blessed. And yet, he loses all of it very suddenly, and he's like, well, I'm gonna continue not cursing God's name, because why would I do that, you know? And his friends are just, you know, and he's like, guys, like, you're not getting it. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, be prideful and, you know, not own up to it. Yeah. And it's just very interesting because I think, like, especially within seasons, I think it's really easy as somebody from the outside, you know, typically, like, when you're, like, walking alongside a friend when they're going through, like, struggles and whatnot, like, you can see a good portion of it. But we have to also remember that, you know, like, as much as we are trying to be there for somebody, we can't always understand exactly what they're going through. And sometimes, like, people just need someone to be there, you know? Like, I know there's been times in my life where no amount of comforting words was going to, and this is, like, you know, within just, like, my 19 years on Earth, you know? And, like, I know very many people who have, like, gone through some really, really intense, like, just heartache and just things that you can't even fathom. And yet, like, they are, you know, still choosing to serve the Lord. And it's like, ah, wow, you know? But they were like, yeah, I just need somebody to be there for me right now. You know, I don't need someone to try and provide comfort, because ultimately the comfort we try to provide is going to not work anyway. And so ultimately our comforter is God. And so remembering our place, and that was something we were talking about too, with, like, what our job is versus what's not our job. So, yeah, I think wrestling with that and knowing, like, yes, being encouraging to people, but not feeling like you have to give them an answer for why things are happening to
them.
So,
A lot of, I don't know what it is about. It's like our culture where we feel like if there's a question, we need to find the answer to it, like, right away. And I think I see a lot of times, like, I don't know, there's a TikTok thing or whatever about, like, oh gosh, I didn't say Instagram Reels.
No, I know. I'm just,
oh, well, I just
might as well.
Anyways, about, like, people being like, yeah, like, I'm the therapist friend. Like, people come to me and, like, I have to fix all their issues.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but, like, you don't.
Yeah.
like people just need someone to be there. And it might even be frustrating for the person. Like, if I'm going through a change and I'm just like, I'm like, hope, like, what do I do?
Here, so, like, this is exactly how you're going to solve this issue.
Yeah.
No,
it's like it's not our job to be like, oh, okay, so you're going through this season, and that is because God is trying to show you this thing. And, yeah, we talked even before about...
Why did that happen? That really spooked me. What did it... Did I send a gust of wind this way?
Anyways. Oh, I forgot that they can...
hear us?
But, yeah, that's where you're hearing me from.
Yeah.
Anyways. Even doing that with ourselves, of being like, yeah, this is the season that I'm going through, and well, it's great to pray and, like, be like, God, like, reveal to me why this happened, and I believe that God can, like, God does tell us, like, why those things happen, but to kind of speculate and be like, oh yeah, like, maybe this is happening because of this, and maybe I need to do this and that. We're kind of turning into Job's friends, of being, like, trying to fix everything, trying to, like, figure everything out. And we see that at the end of Job, God talks to Job, and it's, like, he's, like, well, why is this happening? Like, I don't understand this. And God is, like, where were you when I created the universe? Like, kind of just, I mean, just humbling him in a bit and being, like, how can you even begin to understand this universe when you're just such a small part of it?
Yeah.
So, like... Yeah, while I do think that being open and being curious and asking questions to God about, like, what our life is going to look like, what this new season could bring about, I think that that is important, and an important thing to pray about. But think that we always need to have all of the answers, and I think that in this kind of society and world and culture that we live in, we always like to have everything figured out to a T. But I, yeah, again, I do think that there's peace in someone is like blaring it on the what instrument is
trumpet.
That? Trumpet.
It's always the trumpet players. No offense to any trumpet players that may be listening.
Ben is a trumpet player. That makes sense. That does make sense. In the best way. He's great.
It's just like... Okay, as soon as we start talking, they're going to... Why aren't you in a practice room?
They can't hear it on the microphone.
Hey, this is why we...
We ignore it.
This is why we thought about it. We just might start cracking up, so just ignore that. But that passage, like, the whole section, it's literally my heading says, the Lord speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really just God's response to, like, it's literally, like, four chapters mm-hmm. of God just spitting facts and saying, literally.
Enough.
Yeah, at the beginning. And
of
he's
your
like,
friends?
He hears him out, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, he says about, again, like, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Mm-hmm. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know.
Yeah.
Who stretched a measuring line
so
across
sassy.
It? You know, like, it's like, surely you know. You're speaking as if you know.
It's like,
yeah.
He has two thumbs. Like,
you know, like, and so that's, you know, chapter 38 through 40, where, or I guess, sorry, 41.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's really only three chapters.
Dang, one less chapter.
Oh, no, it is, because it's, like, all the way, 38 is one, and then 39, and anyway, but, and then at the very end, we see Job. Then Job replied to the Lord, this is chapter 42, I know that you can do all things, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plan without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand,
mm-hmm.
things too wonderful for me to know. You know, and Job even says, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, like, so he's like, he's sorry.
He
like,
is.
He's,
yeah, he's,
you
and
know?
That's where it's like, yeah, he also kind of allowed the circle around him to influence him.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think it could also, I think it can be a brave thing, a bold thing. Zateo 25 was called bold if you weren't there, so that's what that's all
there
about.
There you go, there you
we
go.
We have to add the context. Yeah, I think it can be a bold thing to, whenever you are just, like, telling a friend about something and they're like, oh, have you tried this and this,
mm-hmm.
to just be like, I don't think I need advice right now. I just wanted you to know and, just to be praying for you or something, so.
And being able to receive that
mm-hmm.
as well, being the person on the receiving end of that and saying, you know, oh, okay,
absolutely. I'm not going to try and fix your life, figure
mm-hmm.
everything out, that kind of
yeah.
thing can be powerful and also just really hard if
mm-hmm.
we want all the answers, but being able to surrender that.
Yeah. Not to say that encouragement and checking in all that stuff.
Comfort,
very good.
All of those things, but trying to figure out the details and
mm-hmm.
Speculate about what maybe you did to deserve something.
That's a very slippery slope.
It's
a very slippery slope.
No, like Job's friends. Job's friends for 7 days.
For 7 days.
For 7 days, Job's friend.
Yeah.
I also just wanted to read with this section being there it is.
Looking for the pen.
James.
Drink big
water.
Fan of James.
Talk
we didn't.
About James.
We need to have like an actual like list of things so that we remember.
It's definitely James though, and it's like.
And your mother.
And Instagram reels. Okay. But talking about. This devotional here is literally called Rejoice in Suffering. With us experiencing changes and seasons where we don't have all the answers, we're not seeing why things are happening this way. My life verse is James 1:12. And it's blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to know why certain things are happening or what direction you're being pulled.
you started saying direction, and I was like, where is she going? I was like, why is she looking at me like that?
Yeah, you don't have to have everything and figured out, and God doesn't expect you to or want you to, unless he is revealing that to you. So, yeah, hopefully that is just a bit of an encouragement there. Now we're gonna Ecclesiastes
we'll wrap it up. So if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, once again I say buckle up. I personally just read the book of Ecclesiastes. I think it was last year or maybe the year prior, but I'm still pretty new to it. And I have really loved Ecclesiastes. Now, if you've not, go read it. But again, maybe
Bible
follow
Project
Bible Project.
Might have a video.
You know, and they do. And I actually, that's how I went through Ecclesiastes. Is I read it and then I watched, and that was really helpful. So, Ecclesiastes is basically just a real big dose of reality. It's part of the wisdom literature that we find in the Bible, and it just talks about the fleetingness of life in a way, and how we often get so caught up. Like there's a teacher that's talking throughout the book, and then at the very beginning and at the very end, there's this like person who's kind of bringing the pieces together. And so the teacher is talking during this time about wisdom and about, you know, the hevel, everything is hevel or meaningless or smoke or vapor or, you know, have here enigma or paradox, in the sense of like, how we view life. And sometimes it's not. There's just I don't know. I gotta try and reel it in a little bit because
of just being like, I mean, it's definitely all the scripture is living. It's breathing and it lives today.
Yeah.
And this is it. Can also be like our attitude towards our world. Like we see things on the news and we don't think that like things, like how can this be a world that like is producing anything good or meaningful at all? So just thinking about like. I think that's kind of where it's centering in.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when we were talking about kind of sharing like kind of where we are as well, we mentioned that, you know, sometimes throughout like different seasons, like we were trying to, you know, figure everything out and be like, oh, you know, where am I going next? Or where am I coming from?
Yeah.
And seeing like the good that maybe was behind us and the unknown that is before us. And sometimes we're seeing the bad behind us and the good in front of us and, you know, however you're seeing that. But, I think there's a huge call to, you know, make do with where, I don't want to say it like that, to fully lean into what God has for you in every season.
Yeah.
Because there's something, there's something. And sometimes it doesn't feel like a lot. But I feel often in times of trouble, we learn a lot more about ourselves and our reliance on God and our, like, actually, like, needing to rely on him and his character than the good times. Because sometimes, you know, we have that habit of not thinking about him a lot.
Yeah, we're life is good.
Like, you know.
I don't need to pray about
it. And then something
happens. Like,
something happens.
Whoa, I was not prepared.
It's like,
because
hey, God.
I haven't been praying.
It's like, hey.
That kind of thing.
But I think specifically in chapter 2. We talk about, it's the heading, one of the headings, it's not relevant right now, but, the one that I'm going to kind of talk, mine says toil is meaningless, and starting at, verse 17, it says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Classic line from Ecclesiastes, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. And so it talks about, you know, I'm despairing for the toil that I've in the labor that I've done, you know, and then later in verse 22, it says, what do people get for all of the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This, too, is meaningless. So whether we're in a good season or a bad season, mm-hmm. whether we're coming out of a, I guess, good season mm-hmm. or bad season, or uncomfortable or whatever,
yeah.
we will see it through a certain lens and we'll say, okay, you know, I got to do all of these really good things. Yeah. It's worthless uh-huh. because I'm moving into this whole thing. What's to say you can't, you know, like, take some of the things that you've learned and mm-hmm. apply them within the new context or... it doesn't always mean that God's calling you out of something mm-hmm. else. Sometimes it's, you know, into something new, yes, but it's like, yeah. hey, I'm not quite done using you here.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not negating all of yeah. the work that we did here.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make it meaningless. And mm-hmm. I do think we also have kind of, in this society, a tendency to just, like, the fear of change is mm-hmm. so, like, hard. It's like, I will stay here, like, complacent in this life because yeah. I don't, like, what if I go on to something else and it's worse?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, and even, like, it's a lot. It's a really big question, and there's a lot to think about and a lot to dive in there. Mm-hmm. I would love to do more about Ecclesiastes, yeah. but then to kind of wrap it up in verse 24, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. Pause. Okay. We see that. We see this enjoyment, finding enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Really important. Yeah. And even at the end of Ecclesiastes, the way that Ecclesiastes is wrapped up is basically saying, you don't have control.
Yeah.
You don't have control over your life. You don't have control over what happens to you. And if this stresses you out, I'm very sorry. But it's very true. Like, we are not the ones in control. And I often struggle with control issues and needing to know. Like, I'm like, hey, God, it'd be really great if you told me what was next. Be really great if you just kind of gave me an outline for my life, mm-hmm. and so I know what to expect. But there's a lot of, I think, encouragement being someone who struggles a lot with that mm-hmm. within the book of Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. Because no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, you know, like, I'm not in control.
Yeah.
You know, I get to make choices, yeah. right? It's still very important. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we are very reliant on mm-hmm. God. Because we can't do any of this on our own.
Yeah.
We can't do any of this on our yeah. own. We don't have, you know, all of the know-how. We don't have the big picture. We don't mm-hmm. have any of that. We're operating off of what we have,
mm-hmm.
which is not much in our little feeble human minds. But being able to, you know, accept the peace that God wants to give us in whatever season we're in. You know, and as you go to college, you know, like,
yay,
you know, but while you are where you are now, finding enjoyment and finding, you know, the pleasures of life, mm-hmm. right? You know, yes, I'm looking at next semester and what that's going to look like. I'm also still very yeah. much where I am now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think this jump to, I need to plan everything out, need to know mm-hmm. what's happening. We lose the ability to enjoy what is in yeah. our present.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
What is it with us and as people and wanting to, like, it's like right now, we've got right now, and we only look on, like, the past mm-hmm. and the future. It's
right.
the only things we care about, and we don't live in the present that mm-hmm. often. I think with Ecclesiastes, the resolution that they come to is that, like, everything is meaningless without God.
Yeah.
Like, so when we have him with our life, there's such an abundance of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we don't have to have everything figured out. We don't have to, like, know how this perfect life is and live everything the yeah. way that, but just living it with God and just enjoying these, like, simple moments that mm-hmm. he has and new adventures that we don't even yeah. know, but just knowing that we can trust him and he'll bring, like, something that we couldn't even imagine, something
yeah
something more joyful and more
yeah. To end on that, the conclusion of the matter, in chapter 12 verse 13. Oh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Your Devo. Yeah. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the duty of all mankind. So, in whatever season you're in right now,
and that's
do that. That's a take. How does it always circle back? Always. It always circles back. So, that is kind of, like, the gist.
Yeah.
I love that we spend a lot of time in Ecclesiastes. I love Ecclesiastes.
That's great.
And I think we can see this, you know, sure, like, was Job able to find, like, some enjoyment? That's tough.
I mean, yeah.
You know?
I think, yeah, I mean, he definitely learned something, and I think that there's value in that.
He was humbled.
Yeah.
You know?
Humbled.
Got humbled.
It was, and it's so sad, because, like, he wasn't even a prideful person. It was just his friends were like, well...
Actually,
something must be going on there.
Yeah, you gotta, something's going on there. Yeah,
but yeah, with Ecclesiastes, it's always, you know, we're like, oh, Ecclesiastes, that book about talking about how life is meaningless and very existential. But where it leaves you is like there is meaning, and it's in God and what we can, the life that we can live like with Him. So I mean, I don't think that there's a better way we can end this podcast than with life is better with Jesus. So.
Yeah, life is better with Jesus. So fear God and keep his commands. That's the duty of all mankind. So, yeah. That sounds like life verse to me.
That's awesome.
Imagine saying that your life verse is from Ecclesiastes.
That's crazy. People would be like, oh.
You'd be like, what?
My life is meaningless. I'm chasing the wind.
It's like, no, actually, it's a really encouraging one.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
today.
Thanks for tuning in.
And let us know what you want to hear next. We want to do these more often. So, things that maybe you're struggling with, you could DM us on Instagram, Salt and Light Youth Ministry, leave it in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Spotify, you'll have to do some searching. Yeah, but just let us know things you might want to hear us talk about. We're gonna be here. So hope this was an encouragement to you.
Yeah, hopefully. Go forth
and pass the salt.
Yeah.
Dunk, 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 dunk. This is the intro. Dunk, dunk, dunk,
dunk, dunk, dunk, dunk. Okay, bye guys.
We're such a mess. Foolish, foolish. So good. What if people were in practice rooms and they're like, why won't they shut up? Like, we're like telling people with trumpets to shut up.
I'm not telling them to shut up. We're just saying, you know, like, why are you in a practice room? Why aren't you in a practice room, rather? Away! Okay, bye!